You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Welcome to the program. Today is February 16th, 2021. We're going to be continuing on reading Holy Priesthood Volume 2. And we'll be in Chapter 7, Governing All Things, which is pages 57 through 65. I will dedicate the program, and then we will get into the reading today. And then after the reading, I'll open up the phone lines for any questions or comments. People who call in during the reading can listen, and that's fine, but I will not answer that call because I'm waiting till the end of the reading to to open up the phone lines as far as bringing people up on the call. So if people want to just wait, that's great, and if not, you can do what you want to do, but I had some people calling in yesterday, and they pushed one, so I could see that they wanted to talk, but they weren't willing to wait. So, and the reason why I don't just pick up, and let people on the call in the middle of the reading is partly because it interrupts the reading and partly kind of a test. Like, the people who are calling in, if they're not willing to listen to what is being read, there's a great chance that they're not even interested in what's being said and that it's just a scam call. And I get a lot of those. I used to get a lot of those on Blog Talk Radio on this website. And you'll see trolls and stuff, and they like to call in, and they like to ask seeming valid questions, but then they twist it up at the end, and then they'll start just swearing on the radio live and just being stupid. And I'm just not playing that game. So that's why I only open up the phone lines at the end of the reading, and only for a short time. Unless we have people who call, then I'll leave it open for longer. And I can, like, bring on multiple people at once, too. Kind of like on a Zoom call, how you can unmute one person at a time. So, all right. I'll dedicate the program, and we'll get into the reading. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, Yeshua, our Messiah, even Jesus the Christ. We dedicate this time unto thee that we may learn more of thy holy priesthood, the restoration of of principles that will bring about Zion's redemption. We ask thee, Father, to help us to come unto thee and to turn to thee and to learn by thy Spirit, that we may have confirmation of the Spirit as we seek to be built upon the rock of revelation. We ask for thy blessings to be upon us, and we thank thee, Father, for all of our many blessings. And we do so in the name of Yeshua, even Jesus the Christ. Amen. Governing All Things, Chapter 7 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 2, pages 57 through 65. We have power to govern all things, both temporal and spiritual, the kingdom of the world and the elements and the storms and the powers of the earth. Here, but we don't have the power to command people to remove their free agency. Just throwing that in there. Here, Elder Bruce R. McConkie is listed several things over which the priesthood has power. They will be discussed in the following order in this chapter. Number one, elements and storms and powers of the earth. Number two, the kingdoms of the world. Number three, all things both temporal and spiritual. Since this power actually encompasses all things and is as broad as one can conceive, it should certainly be understood and respected. Number one, power over elements, storms, and the powers of the earth, or in other words, performing miracles. Herbert Lockyer, author of all the miracles of the Bible, stated that the Bible is a book of miracles, and whenever God has had dealings with man, there were miracles. They were used to convey understanding, knowledge, assistance, and comfort. According to Locklear, the Bible conception of a miracle is as some extraordinary work of deity transcending the ordinary powers of nature and wrought in connection with the ends of revelation. As important an important aspect of Bible miracles is the fact that they are proper proofs of a divine revelation. They are not only proofs of a revelation, but form a revelation in themselves. Miracles, as an integral part of the Bible, provide evidence that it is God's divinity or divinely inspired word. Excuse me. Without this miraculous content, it would not we could not accept it as a supernatural book. Miracles are both the official and authoritative seal of God. End quote. All things miracle, all the miracles of the Bible, pages 13 and 14. Tucker, come here. Come here. Tucker. It's my dog. Okay, go lay down, okay? You're a good boy. Go lay down. The particular purpose of miracles was to convince God's disciples that he was their God, that he had power to save and power to protect them, and that he would help them when they were afflicted and needed his help. Many of the healing miracles simply showed his mercy and kindness to his children. Lockyer explained why Christ performed so many miracles. Quote, miracles are also the insignia of Christ's deity, a constructive element of the revelation of God in Christ and Messiahship. John chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 4, and Matthew chapter 11, 4, 6, also Acts 2, 20, and 10, 38. In these displays of his inherent power, we have the exercise of his creative, punitive, and healing authority. All his miracles were in accord with his miraculous origin, sinless nature, and moral perfection. They provided God with a method of authenticating Christ's divine mission. He himself regarded his miracles as evidence that he was from God. John chapter 14, verse 27. Later on, as we come to the study of the New Testament miracles, we shall see how many of his miracles, the natural expression of his sympathy for a suffering humanity, as well as the confirmation of his divine commission and teachings. Oh, hold on here. Having issues. Okay, we're on page 59. His miracles provide beyond doubt that he had supreme command over nature and also over the soul and the body of man. A further evidence of design in Bible miracles is the fact that they confirm the divine nature of Christianity and are evidence of the authority of the gospel. All the miracles of the Bible, page 14. The priesthood does not have, I'm having issues today. I don't know why, because I have read this, but I only read it out loud when I'm reading it to you, but I read it before. I read it this morning, and then I had it on my player program, and I was listening to it while I was getting ready for the show, and I listened to this whole thing twice. Sometimes my mouth just doesn't work. I've actually been thinking maybe I just need to use a reader program. I mean, my wife said that she would read for me, but she gets off work at 3:05, and she almost never calls, and she's always got other things that she has to do. And she's always really busy, so I don't have anybody who is, I mean, she's a great reader. She can read out loud. She's a teacher. Like, and I read out loud pretty good too. But sometimes my mouth is just tongue-tied, like big time tongue-tied. Actually, I'm going to see something here. That doesn't work. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not. That'd be cool if you could. In fact, I'm going to call my wife and see if I can get her on the air. I'm going to test something out here real quick. Let's see if we can add call. All right, I couldn't get her on the line, so I guess I'll just have to not do that. Let's see here. Okay, well, I guess we'll just have to deal with me stumbling over the words. Sorry, you know what? I post this information on Facebook.com for people to read so they don't have to listen to me stumbling over words. But the priesthood does have power over the elements of the earth, and this is not a primary function. But this is not a primary function. Actually, it's interesting. I myself have commanded the elements. And I've talked about it on the program, but I know there's a lot of people who are first-time listeners or I haven't talked about it in a while. In 2013, I used to work for FedEx Ground as a truck driver over the road, and I started out in Brockton, Massachusetts, and then I moved. I didn't move. We lived in New Hampshire, but there's no jobs in New Hampshire, so I'd stay all week. I'd stay out all week, and then I'd go home on the weekends. And we lived in upstate New Hampshire. But then, anyway, so I transferred to a different leaser, and they were based out of Hartford, Connecticut. And then when we moved from New Hampshire out to Utah, I transferred to another leaser out of North Salt Lake. And that leaser, I would take FedEx trailers, like all over the western states. Sometimes I would team up with other guys, and then we'd go out to Florida or to New Jersey or different places, but we'd usually be back, you know, on the weekends. And it was an all right job. But I was doing the radio shows back then, and people didn't want to hear me doing the radio shows. And back then, I was actually a co-host on somebody else's radio show. I went live on my own in January of 2014. But so anyway, I would usually do solo runs, and I was bringing trailers back from Billings, Montana, or Bozeman, or Butte. I was coming back from Montana, I can't remember where, and I was coming down I-15, and I was just north of a place called Tremont, Idaho, or Tremont, Utah, Tremont and Tremont, something like that, and it was a stormy day, but I was in the mountains, and it wasn't that big of a deal. Anyway, as soon as I come out of the mountains, all of a sudden, I'm in, like, these crazy winds, and I didn't know that there was, like, this massive windstorm. So I'm on the phone. I called the dispatch out of Salt Lake, and he says, "Well, the weather service says that the wind is going to be gusting 70 plus miles an hour, and it's going to last for like 4 hours or something like that, four more hours." And I had two empty FedEx trailers. If a big truck passes those things going too fast, the dang things tip over. And, oh, man, so I was kind of worried because, like, we didn't have a lot of money at that time. We had this old van that actually got stolen. I don't even know, like, why anybody would steal it. But, like, we had this old beat-up van, and we only had enough money for me to drive to work and then have the van all week at work, and Kim couldn't, we didn't have enough money to drive from Spanish Fork up to North Salt Lake and back, and then back and back, for her to pick me up. So I went to work, worked all week, drove home. We would do the things that we needed to do. And then I would go back to work and take the van with me. And I was worried that these winds were going to knock my trailers over. And Thatcher said, you need to get those trailers underneath of an overpass or something. If they get knocked over, you'll get fired. I'm like, there's nowhere to go. And I was kind of freaked out. You know, I can't lose my job. Like, we couldn't afford it. So I was like praying to God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And he said, use the power that I gave you to command the elements or to command the wind. And I was like, what? And he flashed a vision in my mind real quick. And he showed me what to do. And I pulled my semi-truck over on the shoulder of the road and jumped out and got in front of the semi-truck facing towards the east with both my arms to the square, palms up at a 45-degree angle. And I commanded the wind to cease by the authority given to me of the Father. Amen. And I think I did it in the name of Messiah. And Messiah is an office, by the way. It doesn't always mean Jesus. But anyway, so I did this. And it's still windy, but it dies down. Now, let me just tell you, this storm was coming across the West Desert over the Salt Lake, and it was dusty, like really dusty, so much so that it was kind of dark. And this is during the daytime as well. So anyway, so I jumped back in the truck, and within 5 minutes, those 70-mile-an-hour wind gusts, they just stopped. They weren't supposed to stop for hours, but they just stopped. Within 10 minutes, all that dust that I was telling you about in the air that the wind was kicking up from the West Desert, it started falling out of the sky, and it was like more or less a relatively calm day after that. And like, there was still cloud, like high-level clouds up in the atmosphere, but there was nothing going on like down where I'm at, you know? So I was so excited. I called my wife, and I told her what happened. And her response, I don't even know what to think about it. Like, your husband calls you and tells you that he commanded the wind to stop, and how he was afraid that his semi-truck was going to tip over. And I found out, I didn't know this before, but they had the same kind of winds going on down in Spanish Fork. Now, I'm at the top of the Wasatch Front mountain range, and she's down at the bottom of the Wasatch Front mountain range. And I guess it wasn't as bad down there, but it was still pretty windy. Well, she needed to get something from the store, and we used to live in these townhouses about, I don't know, 3/4 mile from the grocery store. So, and at the time, we had an infant baby who is my 7-year-old now, and we had 2 younger kids, Emma and Olivia, who are now 12 and 15. And she had gotten the stroller out, and she was walking with the baby and the 2 little kids down to the grocery store. And she went in the grocery store, and she got a bunch of stuff that she needed, and she packed it up in her stroller with the baby. And she was like, she came outside, and like, not only was it ridiculous hot outside because it was in August, but the wind was dead. It was gone. It was dead calm. And the sun was beating down on her, and it was really hot. And she's all, couldn't you wait until I got home? Like, my semi-truck is about to tip over, and you're whining about
I don't even know if she was joking, you know, or what in the world was going on in her head. All I knew was God had told me to use the authority that he gave me when I saw him in 2003, gave me the fullness of the priesthood. And, like, okay, so that was, like, in dire circumstances, right? And I think he wanted to just show me that he could, or that I could, if he authorized it, command the elements. But so I was like, oh, wow, if I could do that, then I wonder what else I could do. And I tried to do some other stuff, and it didn't work. And I've tried to command the elements from time to time again, and the winds will die down, but it was nothing like that first time. And I don't know, it was just a really interesting experience. And I think God just wanted to show me that I could, if it was necessary. If it's not necessary, he's not going to allow it. So I guess I got to have him turn the authorization key before I'm allowed to do those kind of things. But then there's other things where I've I'll tell you this story. I'm going to get a drink real quick. So there was another time when I used to have this friend that we used to call Abuela. And it was this woman named Wanda. Wanda Isri from Puerto Rico. And she was, you know, she'd been my friend for years. She's an older woman. She wanted me to marry one of her daughters. Like, this is like, I was friends with her way, 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 way long ago, before I ever got married, obviously. But so she wanted me to marry one of her daughters, and she was always trying to get me to go out with them and come meet them and to, like, whatever. So, and, like, she would come visit me in the States, you know, from time to time, and I would take her out and, like, take her to, like, all of these single activities and stuff, because she's a single woman in her 50s. I'd say late 50s. Anyway, well, maybe, I don't even know. Okay, so anyway, but so one day she calls me up, and she is panicked because her daughter, one of her daughters, has this debilitating disease that has to do with her lungs. And I don't even know what it is. She didn't go into detail, but apparently her daughter stopped breathing. And they were waiting for an ambulance, and this was also in 2013. They were waiting for an ambulance, but it was taking a while for the ambulance to get there. And she was, like, basically dead. Hold on here. There you go. Anyway, so this dog, or this person, is, like, passed out, non-responsive, not breathing, and she was freaking out. And I had told her about, like, God allowing me to command the elements. So she's praying, and she's saying, or she's asking me to pray for her daughter. Now, I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, or more, let's see. I think it's Taylorsville, right around there. Anyway, where I was at the time was at my mom's house. And I stood up facing towards the east with both my hands in the air, and by the authority given to me of the Father and in the office that I hold, I command those angels who are there for my protection to go and heal. And then I had a name. I don't remember what it was. And when I said amen, her daughter started coughing up a bunch of phlegm. She started breathing again. The ambulance got her to the hospital, and they did a bunch of tests, and the disease that she had was gone. There was no sign of it. She was completely healed. Now, I didn't command her to be healed. I did something a little bit different. But knowing who I am and knowing what office I hold in the heavens as the witness of the Father and the Son, I commanded the angels that I have charge over to heal her. And they did. And so priesthood is governing authority, right? And as a leader or a general over the armies of heaven that stands next to the Father and the Son, I have certain authority to command certain things. And they go and they do it. And it was done. And that is by priesthood authority. By the keys and the authority given to me of the Father after the rebellion of Lucifer in the pre-existence. So anyway, continuing on. The priesthood does have power over the elements of the earth, but this is not a primary function. When such rare occasions do occur, there is some particular purpose for it. For example, when the children of Israel were released from the Egyptian captivity and went into the wilderness, the Lord frequently assisted in the deliverance. In his Bible handbook, Henry Haley wrote, quote, "The miracle of Moses, aside from Jesus, yet has never been given to any man to be the agent." Oh, sure. Hold on, my wife's calling. Okay, my wife is laughing because she told me some important news that has to do with her work that we're not going to talk about on the air. And I just want to congratulate her for her achievement. So anyway, Kim, I'm going to try something because I'm having a hard time reading today as normal. And you don't ever have time to actually be on the show. Except yeah. for like your like little cameo appearances where you come in and you listen for a little bit and then you disappear off the face of the radar and I'm like, hello, Kim, are you there? So anyway.
Yeah, because I got to run and pick up kids and do stuff. And Lydia's having her game, but we can't do anything about that because they won't let parents into this school. So she's out there waiting to play.
The orange fluff ball that we call Lenny or other Lenny. I'm not sure which one it is. Because just for the listening audience, we have twin cats, and we don't know. My son, the 15-year-old, calls one Lenny, and he calls the other one other Lenny. And he can tell them apart. I have no idea. Anyway, but he is being useful, or she, it, whatever this cat is being useful because it is catching a mouse. Stupid mice. We live in a farmhouse, and we have fields all around us. And the exterminator said, we're not going to eliminate the problem because of where you live, but we can, like, help mitigate it. So that's why we have, like, 12 billion cats. We have 5 kittens, and then since we put cat food out, we've attracted other strays, and they sit on our porch, and they eat our food, and we're fine because they kill the mouse population, which drive us nuts. But only the kittens get to come in the house. So, anyway,
the chickens don't get to come in the house. They try to come in the house.
No, they kill the mice. No, they kill the mice.
Oh, yeah, we have attack roosters. So we have too many roosters, and I don't like to kill things at all. I hate killing animals. I don't mind eating them. I just don't like killing them because I'm a modern soy boy, I guess. Anyway, so we've got too many roosters in the chicken coop, so we're like, okay, these stupid roosters need to come out of the chicken coop because they're, like, terrorizing these poor hens. So we have like, three or four roosters outside, and they, like, live on the porch, and they sleep on the porch, and they wander around, and they terrorize my young daughters because they chase them around. I'm like, you guys just chase them back and, like, try to pick them up. And, like, so what I do, they used to bother me too. But I will, as soon as I see them, I'll be like...
They also bother the puppy. They attack the puppy and they put a mark on her back. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. Stupid chickens. I mean, I don't even care. She can kill them. Whatever. Anyway... But I'll chase them around. I'll be like, hey, jiggy-jiggies. And those chickens, those roosters, do not like that. And sometimes I catch them, and I, like, pet them for a little while, and I'll hold them. And they don't like that either. But try to chase me around anymore. But they do try to get in my van when I open the door, and they do try to get in the car when, you know, when my wife gets home, if I open the door and they're on the porch, they do try to come in the house. And I have had to chase roosters around inside the living room before because they're stupid roosters. Oh, the kids are home. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, I'm going to see if the reader program, if you guys can hear it when I am on the air. So I needed somebody to listen. So I'm going to play this real quick,
okay.
And I want to know if you can hear it. Here we go. Okay, could you hear any of that?
No, nothing. I was still waiting for you to start it.
No, it doesn't work then. Hey, put your backpacks where they go. Put your masks in your backpack so you know where they are in the morning. Okay. Emmett, pull your pants up. Why are you wearing those pants to school? Oh, my gosh.
It was Hawaiian Day today.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like, what the heck?
He had to wear weird clothes because it was Hawaiian Day.
Olivia needs to go get... She's not here.
Olivia's at basketball, yes.
They have practice before. I thought they didn't have practice on game day.
She has a game right now. She's at the game.
Okay. Emmett.
And then
you need to go out and get the harness. And it's in the dog run. The chicken coop, whatever you want to call it. Hey. Go put your stuff away. Anyway, I guess I'll just have to figure out how to do this later because if it's not going to work. I mean, I can hear it. I just, it doesn't go through onto the...
You can hear it, but they can't?
Yeah, they can't hear it.
What if you got, like, I don't know, my phone or something or a speaker or something?
Emmett?
Yeah?
Emmett? Go do what I asked you to do, please.
The harness and the dog.
Put your mask in your backpack so you know where it
I
is.
I need to get the one out of Mom's car, but I forgot.
And take your headset off. You don't need to have it on 24 hours a day.
I have it on.
And Kim?
It's his headband.
Yeah, you're going to break it.
How?
So Emma did something stupid the other day. And,
okay, and, this is no news. What did he do?
No, you were there, Kim. I'm just telling the audience. So we got Kim got a hotel room since it was a 3-day weekend for two nights at this place that has this 24-hour pool in Price, Utah. So and I was at work, you know, during the day, and then I'd come home or come over to the motel at night
Well, we were packing up to leave yesterday, and Emmett did something stupid. And I was like, come here, come here. And I acted like, I said, turn around. And I acted like I was going to smack him in the back of the head, like, you know, duh. Like, I don't know, you do teenagers that are, that do something dumb. Anyway, so I raised my hand like I was going to smack him in the back of the head. And I, what I was going to do was kick him in the butt. But I didn't want him to know what I was about to do. And he, like, leaned over. He hit himself in the back of the head. I don't even know how this even happened. His headset goes flying off of his head, and I still kicked him in the butt. And I don't know. It was funny. It's like when we were driving down to Houston one time, and I had all the family in the semi-truck, and he did something in the semi-truck, and I'm sitting there driving, and I said, Emmett, give me your hand. I'm going to smack your hand for doing whatever you did or whatever. And I held my hand out like I was going to smack his hand, and then, like, at the last second, I smacked him in the back of the head. Kim, do you remember that?
Yeah, I have the radar detector is going off, but I don't want everybody to think that you're trying to hit your kid and like hurt him. It was like a joke, so I don't know. Some people don't like that.
Oh, whatever. People can stop being so worried about everything. So I was also talking about the we're talking about miracles, and I was talking about a couple of times when God has allowed me to command the elements to heal people who have been sick. And so I have to ask you, because I think my memory is getting a little bit faded on this. Like, when I told you what happened with the wind in August of 2013, and you were like, why couldn't you wait until I got home? Were you joking, or were you being sarcastic, or what was
no,
your...
No, I was being serious. I was like, why couldn't you just wait for like 10 minutes? You couldn't have called me first and told me? Because I was walked. We didn't have two vehicles, and you took the other vehicle. So I was like, and I was walking with the kids to the store because we went to go get milk. And I put what I could in the bottom of the stroller to walk back because Eliza was just little. So I had Emmett and Liddy on, you know, their bikes and trying to go, you know, but then it was me with the stroller trying to keep up with those two and the baby in the stroller with the food. And it was like
pushing a stroller uphill.
Yeah, it was nice on the walk down, and it was, you know, it was probably only like a mile or two or something like that. And so it was like a nice little walk, but then, yeah, after you called me and you were like, you're never going to believe what happened. And I was like walking out of the store, and I was like, oh, you couldn't have waited like 10 minutes so I could get back because it was like so hot. Oh my
God.
Yeah,
but I did tell you that my trailers were going to flip over and I would have lost my job.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
And you were still like, you couldn't just wait a couple minutes? Like, yeah, sure, I'll just wait for my trailers to tip over. And then, for your convenience, I will command the wind to stop as soon as you get home in a half an hour.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to get the baby, so I gotta mute you.
Okay.
Mute me.
Okay. I'll continue reading. All right. The miracle of Moses. Aside from Jesus, it was never given, it has never been given to any man to be agent of so many stupendous manifestations of divine power. The plagues of Egypt, waters of the Red Sea dried up, water made sweet at Marya, quail sent in the wilderness, of sin. Emmett.
Yes.
Are you going to put the Tucker on the lead?
Yeah.
And your stupid cat did knock that over, so it's all your fault.
I'm not going to murder him, but I'll take it.
Well, somebody let him in, and I can't get him out. You can talk to Mom after she gets home. anyway, that, yeah, I have to go to work every day. Every day of my life, I have to go to work. So, all right. The plagues of Egypt. Waters of the Red Sea dried up. Water made sweet at Marya. You know what? I'm going to try something. I don't know if this will work. I want to see if I can do something different here, because I'm really having a hard time, and I've got to figure out what in the world, like something that'll help me with doing the program. And I pay for this really good reader program, and there's this old man voice that reads really well, which is the voice I listen to. And I was thinking about it last night. I was like, Ogden Crowd passed away a number of years ago, but he was an old man when he died. And I was like, I know it doesn't sound like Ogden. And there's YouTube videos of Ogden talking, you know, on the audio, so you can hear what he sounds like. But I was thinking, we could just pretend this is Ogden. So let me see if I can do this. Actually, I'll be right back. Okay, we're going to try this. I don't know if it'll work. I'm just trying something new.
The miracles of Moses, aside from Jesus, it has never been given to any man to be agent of so many stupendous manifestations of divine power. The plagues of Egypt. Waters of Red Sea dried up. Water made sweet at Marah. Quails sent in wilderness of sin and at Taberah. Manna supplied daily for 40 years. Water from the rock at Rephidim and Meribah. Cataclysmic scenes at Sinai. God's voice from the mountain. The Ten Commandments written on stone with God's finger. Moses' face shown. Moses talked face to face with God. Miriam's leprosy sent and removed. Korah and his rebels swallowed by earth. Punitive plagues at Taberah, Kadesh, and Beer. Aaron's rod bleeds. People healed by brazen serpent. Balaam's ass speaks. Balaam utters amazing prophecies. Israel guided 40 years by a supernatural cloud. Clothes waxed not old, and feet swelled not. Moses could not have delivered Israel out of Egypt and sustained them in the wilderness 40 years without the direct miraculous help of God. It is supposed by many that the miracles performed by Moses before Pharaoh were intended to convince him that the God of Moses was the true God. However, the miracles were actually intended to convince the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. And that thou mightest tell in the ears of thy son, and of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. God continually told Moses to teach the children of Israel that he was the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The miracles were evidence of that fact. Halley continues. An integral part of the Bible record is miracle, for the specific purpose of showing it to be God's word. Except for miracles, how could we know it to be a revelation of God? No miracle, no evidence of deity. While miracles are a very conspicuous feature of the Bible, they are not abundant in all parts of the Bible. Bible miracles, not including prophecies and their fulfillment, are particularly noticeable in four great periods, centuries apart. At establishment of nation, Moses and Joshua 1400 BC at crisis in struggle with idolatry, Elijah and Elisha 850 BC at captivity, when idolatry was victorious. Daniel 600 BC at introduction of Christianity. Jesus and the apostles, in addition to those four biblical periods, could be added the miracles in the Book of Mormon and those during the restoration of the gospel. It is interesting to note that many biblical miracles were dealing with water, such as bringing rain, controlling the waters, dividing them, or drying them up. Those involving the Red Sea, Jordan River, Marah, Meribah, Rephidim, Jericho waters, swimming iron, Carmel, stilling of storms, changing water to wine, Bethesda pool, and walking on water. There were also miracles with fire, oil, food, thunder, hail, earthquakes, and trees. Among the greatest of these miracles were parting the Red Sea, parting of the earth to destroy the false priests of Baal, and causing the sun and moon to hold still so Joshua and his people could avenge themselves upon their enemies, the Amorites. Too often when great miracles are performed, people lose faith if they are not continued. Thus, it is usually better for people to believe without the display of miracles, even though it is said that signs will follow those who believe in the true God. 2. The kingdoms of the world. Another purpose for the miracles of Moses was to convince the Israelites to separate themselves from Egyptian rule. Israel was to become a separate nation, a kingdom under God. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The story of the rise and fall of ancient Israel is the main theme of the Old Testament. Seven great nations were destroyed by the Lord to protect that little kingdom. Under King David it reached its greatest power, but then both David and the people began to fail the Lord. By the time of Samuel, their nation was a strong theocracy, and they could have eventually ruled all the nations of the earth. But because of weakness and sin, they wanted a government and king like other nations. From then on, the nations of Babylon swallowed them up. 3. All things, both temporal and spiritual. Many of these miraculous powers we have mentioned have been regarding inanimate elements of the earth. But others have also involved living things such as animals, serpents, frogs, flies, locusts, ravens, lions, fish, and swine. Miracles extended to healing sickness, broken bones, fevers, blindness, dumbness, and even power over death. In the New Testament, miraculous priesthood power was frequently manifested by the Savior himself. But it was not necessarily confined to him, as his disciples were blessed with this same power. But whenever or however these miracles were performed, there was always an important reason for them, that is, Old Testament, to prove that the stone, wooden, or man-made gods were false. New Testament, as evidence that Christ was the true Messiah and Son of God. As evidence that Christ set up the true church, and it had God's approval. Such great powers of God produced in the eyewitness wonder and astonishment which were easily kept in his mind and memory. Although miracles were more temporal in their demonstration, they were designed to symbolize the spiritual power and promises which God has given to man. They usually represent acts of God's mercy and kindness, and typify his promises for them in eternity, symbolizing the blessings that God has in store for his chosen people. Power was also given to Christ's disciples over evil spirits, and after Jesus sent out his missionaries, they marveled at this great priesthood power. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Using this power to control elements and evil spirits is the essential purpose, not to command and rule over mankind, as Dr. Hugh Nibley stated. Repeat of repeat, over whom does it exercise power, then? Over the spirits and over the elements, never over one's fellow men, whose free agency is absolute and inalienable. Christ commanded the spirits, and they obeyed him. He commanded the elements, and they...
Okay. Now I'm going to try something else here. I'm sorry, this is just going to have to be a guinea pig episode, because... I don't know what to do. I mean, I do want to do these shows because I've been commanded to, and when I don't do them, I feel really bad because I'm supposed to be this light to teach people. But I'm going to try using a different microphone to see if it sounds better, and I'll listen to this later when I hold on. I'll listen to this later when I can. Okay, let's see if I can get this to work. Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear or not, but I'm going to try this different method. So,
Christ commanded the spirits, and they obeyed him. He commanded the elements, and they obeyed him. But men he would not command, and rebuked the apostles at Capernaum for suggesting it. Thus, priesthood gives men great power over the elements, the earth, kingdoms, and devils, but it does not give him power to rule over the lives of men. But unfortunately, this is often what happens. Men soon begin to exercise control or dominion or compulsion upon the souls of the children of men to gratify pride and vain ambition. CD&C 121, 37. If men would seek to use their priesthood power for the purposes of healing the sick, commanding devils to depart, and exerting power over the elements for the good of others, they would become more righteous and draw closer to God. When they are trying to use this power for their own aggrandizement and vain ambition, they are following that well-worn path of priestcraft. As a result, only a few righteous men have any power in the priesthood today. Such miracles and powers of God have been promised to the true saints and followers of Jesus Christ, for the Savior instructed us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Moroni warned that if these gifts and powers were not found with the people, it would be because of their unbelief. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case. The questions now follow. What is the present condition of the LDS Church today? Are these priesthood powers and gifts evident among current church leaders and members? Chap after it, gaining eternal life. We have power, through the priesthood, to gain eternal life, the greatest of all the gifts of God. Eternal life and everlasting life, according to the definitions by dictionaries and churches of the world, mean the same thing and are used interchangeably. However, in taking a closer look at the use of these two terms in some passages of Scripture, we find there is a distinction. Most Christian churches believe that only a few people will be saved and have everlasting life. However, this chapter will show that almost all mankind will be saved and have everlasting life, but only a few will receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul said, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order." This seems to indicate that all the children of Adam will be saved and receive life everlasting. Again from Paul, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Rom 14:11. See also Isaiah 45:23, Phil 2:10-11. And John saw nations of them which are saved. But just being saved to an everlasting life is different from an eternal life. Governing All Things, Chapter 7 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 2, pages 57-65. We have power to govern all things, both temporal and spiritual, the kingdoms of the world and the elements and storms and powers of the earth. Here Elder Bruce R. McConkie has listed several things over which the Holy Priesthood has power. They will be discussed in the following order in this chapter. 1. The elements and storms and powers of the earth, 2. The kingdoms of the world, 3. All things, both temporal and spiritual, since this power actually encompasses all things and is as broad as one can conceive, it should certainly be better understood and respected. 1. Power over the elements, storms, and powers of the earth, the performing of miracles. Herbert Lockyer, author of All the Miracles of the Bible, stated that the Bible is a book of miracles, and whenever God had dealings with man, there were miracles. They were used to convey understanding, knowledge, assistance, and comfort. According to Lockyer, the biblical conception of a miracle is that of some extraordinary work of deity transcending the ordinary powers of nature and wrought in connection with the ends of revelation. An important aspect of Bible miracles is the fact that they are proper proofs of a divine revelation. They are not only proofs of a revelation, but form a revelation in themselves. Miracles, as an integral part of the Bible, provide evidence that it is God's divinely inspired word. Without its miraculous content, we could not accept it as a supernatural book. Miracles are both the official and authoritative seal of God. The particular purpose of miracles was to convince God's disciples that he was their God, that he had power to save and protect them, and that he would help them when they were afflicted and needed his help. Many of the healing miracles simply showed his mercy and kindness to his children. Lockyer explained why Christ performed so many miracles. Miracles are also the insignia of Christ's deity, a constitutive element of the revelation in Christ and Messiahship. In these displays of his inherent power, we have the exercise of his creative, punitive, and authority. And all of his miracles were in accord with his miraculous origin, sinless nature, and moral perfection. They provided God with a method of authenticating Christ's divine mission. He himself regarded his miracles as evidence that he was from God. Later on, as we come to the study of New Testament miracles, we shall see how many of his miracles were a natural expression of his sympathy for a suffering humanity, as well as the confirmations of his divine commission and teachings. His miracles prove beyond
his supreme command over nature, and also over the soul and body of man. A further evidence of design in Bible miracles is the fact that they confirm the divine nature of Christianity and are evidences of the authority of the gospel. The priesthood does have power over the elements of the earth, but this is not a primary function. When such rare occasions do occur, there is some particular purpose for it. For example, when the children of Israel were released from Egyptian captivity and went into the wilderness, the Lord frequently assisted in the deliverance. In his Bible handbook, Henry Halley wrote, "The miracles of Moses aside from Jesus, it has never been given to any man to be agent of so many stupendous manifestations of divine power. The plagues of Egypt, waters of Red Sea dried up, water made sweet at Marah, quails sent in wilderness of Sin and at Tabera, manna supplied daily for 40 years, water from the rock at Rephidim and Meribah, cataclysmic scenes at Sinai, God's voice from the mountain, the Ten Commandments written on stone with God's finger, Moses' face shone, Moses talked face to face with God, Miriam's leprosy sent and removed, Korah and his rebels swallowed by earth, punitive plagues at Tabera, Kadesh, and Pir, Aaron's rod bleeds, people healed by brazen serpent, Balaam's ass speaks, Balaam utters amazing prophecies, Israel guided 40 years by a supernatural cloud, clothes waxed not old, and feet swelled not. Moses could not have delivered Israel out of Egypt and sustained them in the wilderness 40 years without the direct miraculous help of God. It is supposed by... It is supposed by many that the miracles performed by Moses before Pharaoh were intended to convince him that the God of Moses was the true God. However, the miracles were actually intended to convince the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might shew these my signs before him, and that thou mightest tell in the ears of thy son, and of thy son, O son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord." God continually told Moses to teach the children of Israel that he was the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The miracles were evidence of that fact. Halley continues, "An integral part of the Bible record is miracle, for the specific purpose of showing it to be God's word. Except for miracles, how could we know it to be a revelation of God? No miracle, no evidence of deity. While miracles are a very conspicuous feature of the Bible, they are not abundant in all parts of the Bible. Bible miracles, not including prophecies and their fulfillment, are particularly noticeable in four great periods, centuries apart. At establishment of nation, Moses and Joshua 1400 BC at crisis in struggle with idolatry, Elijah and Elisha 850 BC at captivity, when idolatry was victorious, Daniel 600 BC at introduction of Christianity, Jesus and the apostles." In addition to those four biblical periods, could be added the...
Okay, I'm going to try something different here. Oh. Working.
Hope you can't get it to work. I don't know what's going on.
Gospel. It is interesting to note that many biblical miracles were dealing with water, such as bringing rain, controlling the waters, dividing them, or drying them up, those involving the Red Sea, Jordan River, Marah, Mereba, Rephidim, Jericho waters, swimming iron, Carmel, stilling of storms, changing water to wine, Bethesda pool, and walking on water. There were also miracles with fire, oil, food, thunder, hail, earthquakes, and trees. Among the greatest of these miracles were parting the Red Sea, parting of the earth to destroy the false priests of Baal, and causing the sun and moon to hold still so Joshua and his people could avenge themselves upon them.
Okay, I'm gonna try something different. I'm on a different mic.
Among the greatest of these miracles were parting the Red Sea, parting of the earth to destroy the false priests of Baal, and causing the sun and moon to hold still so Joshua and his people could avenge them.
Okay, I'm sorry, everybody. I gotta try something else here. Okay, I'm going to try one other thing to see if it works. I'm on a different mic now. Okay. It doesn't work. Gosh darn it. Maybe it works best if I did it the other way. Okay. Well, I'm going to open up the phone lines as soon as you can call on there. If you want to, questions or comments, push one, and I'll see that you are wanting to come on the show. Figure this out. Okay, now I'm on a different mic. Oh, well, it sounds better. Let me see here. Oh, that doesn't work either.
Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The story of the rise and fall of ancient Israel is the main theme of the Old Testament. Seven great nations were destroyed by the Lord to protect that little kingdom. Under King David, it reached its greatest power, but then both David and the people began to fail the Lord. By the time of Samuel, their nation was a strong theocracy, and they could have eventually ruled all the nations of the earth. But because of weakness and sin, they wanted a government and king like other nations. From then on, the nations of Babylon swallowed them up. 3. All things, both temporal and spiritual, many of these miraculous powers we have mentioned have been regarding inanimate elements of the earth. But others have also involved living things such as animals, serpents, frogs, flies, locusts, ravens, lions, fish, and swine. Miracles extend it to healing sickness, broken bones, fevers, blindness, dumbness, and even power over death. In the New Testament, miraculous priesthood power was frequently manifested by the Savior himself, but it was not necessarily confined to him, as his disciples were blessed with this same power. But whenever or however these miracles were performed, there was always an important reason for them, that is, Old Testament, to prove that the stone, wooden, or man-made gods were false. New Testament, as evidence that Christ was the true Messiah and Son of God. As evidence that Christ set up the true church and it had God's approval. Such great powers of God produced in the eyewitness wonder and astonishment which were easily kept in his mind and memory. Although miracles were more temporal in their demonstration, they were designed to symbolize the spiritual power and promises which God has given to men. They usually represent acts of God's mercy and kindness, and typify his promises for them in eternity, symbolizing the blessings that God has in store for his chosen people. Power was also given to Christ's disciples over evil spirits, and after Jesus sent out his missionaries, they marveled at this great priesthood power. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are...
Notwithstanding it, this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Using this power to control elements and evil spirits is the essential purpose, not to command and rule over mankind, as Dr. Hugh Nibley stated. Repeat of repeat, over whom does it exercise power, then? Over the spirits and over the elements, never over one's fellow men, who's out and inalienable. Christ command
the spirits, and they obeyed him. He commanded the elements, and they obeyed him. But men he would not command, and rebuked the apostles at Capernaum for suggesting it. Thus, priesthood gives men great power over the elements, the earth, kingdoms, and devils, but it does not give him power to rule over the lives of men. But unfortunately, this is often what happens. Men soon begin to exercise control or dominion or compulsion upon the souls of the children of men to gratify pride and vain ambition. CD and C 121, 37. If men would seek to use their priesthood power for the purposes of healing the sick, commanding devils to depart, and exerting power over the elements for the good of others, they would become more righteous and draw closer to God. When they are trying to use this power for their own aggrandizement and vain ambition, they are following that well-worn path of priestcraft. As a result, only a few righteous men have any power in the priesthood today. Such miracles and powers of God have been promised to the true saints and followers of Jesus Christ, for the Savior instructed us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Moroni warned that if these gifts and powers were not for people, it would be because of their unbelief. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. And woe be unto the children of men if this be the case. The questions now follow. What is the present condition of the LDS Church today? Are these priesthood powers and gifts evident among current church leaders and members? Chapter 8, Gaining Eternal Life. We have power, through the priesthood to gain eternal life, the greatest of all the gifts of God. Eternal life and everlasting life, according to the definitions by dictionaries and churches of the world, mean the same thing and are used interchangeably. However, in taking a closer look at the use of these two terms in some passages of Scripture, we find there is a distinction. Most Christian churches believe that only a few people will be saved and have everlasting life. However, this chapter will show that almost all mankind will be saved and have everlasting life, but only a few will receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul said, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order." This seems to indicate that all the children of Adam will be saved and receive life everlasting. Again from Paul, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Rom 14:11, see also Isaiah 45:23, Phil 2:10-11, and John saw nations of them which are saved. But just being saved to an everlasting life is different from an eternal life.
Okay, I don't know if that'll work, but maybe I can figure something else out. I don't know. I got another mic that I can use, and it might sound better, more noise canceling, if I could just find it. All right, so I'm just going to end the call with that. Thank you for listening to the guinea pig episode. I'll be back on tomorrow with another episode, and we'll try to do something different with Chapter 8. And I don't know. Thank you for listening. Take care, everyone. God bless. Goodbye.